We began a new series on Wednesday nights entitled Lifestyle Evangelism. Amen. Lifestyle Evangelism. Now, we're going to explain that tonight. And once again, we'll pick back up. And in introducing this series, my focus was last week, and it will be again tonight, on answering the questions, two questions, the what lifestyle evangelism is and why this includes every believer. In other words, why God says this is something that every believer, that includes you and I, needs to know about or to be a part of our life. So track with me. Tonight what we're going to do is pick back up and finish answering those two important questions. So tonight's message, for those note takers that we have, which I always encourage, is Lifestyle Evangelism Part 2. Amen. Part 2. And so I invite you to follow along with me, because they're going to put it up for us in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, beginning with verse 19 through 22. We want to read this tonight from the Message translation. This is powerful. And it says this: even though I am free of the demands and expectations of everyone, I have voluntarily become a servant to any and all in order to reach a wide range of people. Notice, Paul said, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, his endeavor and purpose of what we're talking about was to reach a wide range of people. Now notice, religious and non-religious, meticulous moralists, loose living immoralists, the defeated, the demoralized, whoever. I didn't take on that way of life. I kept my bearings in Christ. But I entered that world and tried to experience things from their point of view. I've become just about every sort of servant there is in my attempts to lead those I meet into a God-saved life. I did all this because of the message. I mean, that the message is the gospel, God's word. Amen. I didn't just want to talk about it. I wanted to be in on it. Praise God. And so tonight, this portion of scripture is a perfect example of lifestyle evangelism. In other words, how we live our lives in bringing others to Christ. So last week we began this way. We will begin to remind everyone tonight as we put slide number one up, as we define lifestyle evangelism. It's where every believer lives their Christian life as a deliberate witness for Jesus Christ in obedience to the Great Commission. Everybody say the Great Commission. Now, in a few moments, we're going to look at the Great Commission again from the Scripture. I realize that probably most of you know what the Great Commission is. However, Barner's survey shows that the great majority of even church-going Christians have no clue of what the Great Commission is. And a large percentage have said they never even heard it mentioned or taught. Now, and so many times, you know, one of my dangers as a pastor, because I'm here all the time and teach, and I know what I teach, we talk about the Great Commission often because it is the assignment of the church. And so we are going to define, we're going to look at some scriptures about that in just one moment. But with that in mind, we look once again where every believer lives their Christian life as a deliberate witness for Jesus Christ in obedience to the Great Commission. So in lifestyle evangelism, Jesus is seen in and through the way you live your life. In other words, your actions speak loud. Amen. You may heard it said like this: always preach the gospel, and when necessary, use words. How many heard that before? Amen. Well, it is a part of the truth that we're talking about tonight. And is, you can write this verse down because we're not going to put it up. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 3, it tells us that we are to become living epistles, known and read by people by the manner of life that we live. In other words, the change is seen in our life. And how many know there should be a change seen in our life? Yet we have to learn as believers what God has done for us in order for us to really live that out. This is why the value of God's word is so important to our lives, because we find out our identity there, who we really are, who God says we are, and who he sees us as. It shows us our inheritance, what he's provided for us through the death, burial, and resurrection in Christ. And it also shows us the power that we have to live this new life. How many know that God has given us, Jesus gave us authority in this life? Now, we won't need authority in heaven. We need authority here. In other words, the permission and right to exercise power on behalf of another, this case, Jesus himself. And so when we get saved, the point is there should be a change. There should be a change. The way you live your life should change. Amen. The scripture, and I chose not to turn to some of these scriptures tonight because I'm always go over anyway. I said, if I share all these scriptures, then I really will go over. I want to really answer these two questions. What is lifestyle evangelism and why it's so important? I want to really get through that. If I hit every little thing that I want to, then I probably won't get there again tonight. But the scripture talks about when we get saved, there should be, in order to get saved, one of the things we need to do is repent. Repentance is not a bad word. It means turning from our way to turn to God's way. And so we turn from our sin. Repentance is repenting for our sin and then turning to God and putting our faith in him through Jesus Christ. Amen. So many translations say things like this, that there should be fruit of repentance or fruit with our repentance. In other words, the way we live should change. In other words, if we have, you know, John the Baptist is one of those that were famous as saying that. You know, when they showed up at the River Jordan, he was baptizing them. He said, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? He called them brood of vipers. He's called the religious folk brood of vipers. He wasn't too heartwarming to them. And there was a reason why he wasn't. And the reason why is because the traditions of men have made the word of God of no effect. And they had a religious stronghold without helping them to have a real relationship with God. They put a whole bunch of rules on the people without, as Jesus said, lifting a finger to help remove any of those burdens you put on them. And so the point is, there should be fruit with repentance. There should be a change in our life. This is why even at the baptism of John, when John baptized, which was a baptism of repentance when they came to be baptized, this is why the soldiers, this is why the people that came to him asked them, how am I to live now? Am I stopped being, like for instance, one of them asked him, one of the soldiers said, am I stopped being a soldier under the Roman governor? He says, no. He says, so what am I supposed to do? He said, be thankful for what your earnings, and don't try to get it in a wrong way from other people. He gave examples of how a repentant life could still move forward in walking with God. How many know the world doesn't change that you live in, but how you live in the world changes? And this is what lifestyle evangelism is about, because it is designed to change not you first, but then your power to help influence others. Amen. And the real key here is a renewed mind. Now, you can write this down. We're not going to put it up in Romans 12, 1 and 2. I think it's important that we understand that it says, I beseech you, therefore, Paul said, I beseech you, verse 1, Romans 12, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. The first thing that we're to do once we get saved is to do something with this body. Not let this body do what it wants to do all the time. It wanted to sin, And it will still want to sin because your body, the Bible calls the flesh of man, isn't saved yet. Isn't saved yet. So your body sinned because before you were saved, your old man had a sin nature in it. You had the wrong nature. How many know you're not a cat, but cats meow because they're a cat. Dogs bark. You're not a dog, but they bark because they're dogs. Sinners sin because they're sinners. They have sin in their heart. They have the wrong nature. When man sinned against God, he gets that wrong nature. That happened in the Garden of Eden, and it passed on to all of mankind. That's why Jesus came. And when you and I get born again, that old sin nature that was in our spirits died. It was crucified with Christ on the cross. That man no longer lives. And when you invite Christ into your life, you receive not only Christ and the Spirit of God living in you, but you receive the gift of eternal life and a brand new nature. You become a new creature in Christ. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. You do not have a sin nature in your spirit anymore. You have a new nature, made in the likeness and the image of God. The want to on the inside wants to do everything that God's word says it, and it is everything that God says it is. But my point is, until you do verse 2 of Romans 12, which says, "And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God." So until we do something with our bodies, don't let it do what it wants to do. Realize that it can still do wrong, but now you're going to have to live from the new man, the man in Christ, and the way that you're going to do that is through the renewed mind. In other words, you're going to find out, your renewed mind will find out what God's word said he's done for you, how sin doesn't have to have dominion over you, how you can live this new life because you are a new creature in Christ. You were a sinner and you are saved by grace. I'll say that again. You were a sinner and you are saved by grace. You're no longer a sinner. You can sin, but that doesn't make you a sinner. You are a new creature in Christ Jesus, made in the likeness and image of God. And because of his life in you, you have, by the grace of God, the ability, the power over sin because of who God made you and who lives within. Praise God. But if you don't renew your mind to the Word of God and find out the rich treasure of who you are, what God has provided for you, you'll live like the old man is still alive. I said you'll live like the old man is alive. Praise God. And so until our minds are renewed, we're kind of like the skunk factor. Okay? I've told this many times, you know, I remember coming to work one day and I didn't hit the skunk, but I ran over a skunk that was already run over. In other words, I didn't hit the skunk, but all the animal lovers realized I wasn't trying to kill the skunk. But the skunk evidently was pretty juicy. Because when I got to work, which is only a 2 miles down the road here, when I got to work, I got to the truck. Skunk. Amen. Well, this is the kind of same thing that happens to us without a renewed mind, even though, see, the skunk is dead. The old you is dead. But unless your mind is renewed to the Word of God, you are going to still smell like the skunk is alive. You understand what I'm saying? The results of that old life will still show up because your mind ain't renewed to the Word of God. So the old way of life that's familiar with, you'll still do that because it's familiar to you. This is why you have to relearn how to live again. And how many know the local church is the school you go to relearn how to live again, and you don't graduate until you die. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, God is trying to help us tonight. So in other words, In other words, in being saved and becoming a believer and a disciple, there should be a transformation. There should be a lifestyle change. And with that, your life becomes, listen, a witness for Christ in both word and deed. Many times we focus on, you know, we talk about what we have power over. We don't have to live the way we did before. But I want you to understand this, as important as that is, and we should teach that, and we should understand that. You also need to understand this transformation and this lifestyle change that you have. It empowers you to be a witness for Christ in both word and deed, and that's what's important. That's what we need to focus on. We need to stop focusing on what we shouldn't do and can't do. If you would focus more on what you are to do, like being a living sacrifice, like being a witness for Christ, then the other would take care for itself. Because once you get addicted to living for Jesus and winning others to Christ, then the other doesn't have the temptation or the draw on you that it once had. Praise the Lord. God is good. Hallelujah. So in lifestyle evangelism, you actually live and share that change with others, beginning with friends and family. You do that. And the people maybe that you work with, the people that you run with, that's a good place to start. Amen. And then that can grow. So let's talk about this. Why this is so important. Why lifestyle evangelism would be so important. Because it is Jesus' command. How many know the Great Commission was not his great suggestion? Neither should it be the church's great omission. It should be understood as the Great Commission. So what is the Great Commission? And where is that found at, Pastor Chris? Well, we find it in two places in particular. We call it that in Matthew 28 and verses 18 through 20. It says like this. Jesus said, came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And he says, teaching them to observe all things I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. We call this the Great Commission. It's the word commission is actually an act investing someone with authority. And this is exactly what he's done. As the Father, Jesus said in John, I believe it's 20, he said in John 20 there, he says, as the Father sent me, so I send you. How did the Father send him? With authority, in the power of the Holy Ghost, he sends us the same way. Now in Matthew and Mark's account of this in chapter 16, beginning with 15, here's what Jesus said. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Amen. And he that believeth is baptized shall be saved. And he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs will follow them that believe. In my name they'll cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. If they shall take up serpents, if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. And they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Verse 19 says, and so then after the Lord had spoken to them, he received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth. Here's what we're to go. They went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them, confirming the word with signs following. Amen. Praise God. So this is why this lifestyle evangelism is so important, because it gets us involved in what Jesus commanded his church to do. Evangelism. Discipleship and evangelism is God's plan. And so this is why it's so important. It allows us to understand that we're not putting this off to the fivefold ministry gifts or a specialized evangelist. We can absolutely not shirk our responsibility as believers, because he didn't call the fivefold ministry to do all the, we're going to talk about this in a minute, to do all the work. He's called the body of Christ to do the work. He called the church, the fivefold ministry gifts to equip the saints so they can do the work. Amen. And so that means all of us, none of us are absolved of our responsibility of the Great Commission. So in lifestyle evangelism, two great things happen. So number one, the first thing, that reaching others for Christ is what happens. In other words, through the life you live and the gospel message you share, you bring other lost people to Christ. It's all of our responsibility. It's not just mine. I tell people, I get people saved not because I'm the pastor, but because I'm a believer. Amen. And so we have to be taught this, and being taught this, we find this is exactly what the Word of God teaches, exactly what Jesus commissioned His disciples, His church to do. The second thing, the great thing that happens in lifestyle evangelism, is it produces fresh fire in you and I that are the ones that do it. Come on. I can show you people that are on fire for God, and they understand about lifestyle evangelism. In other words, it when I say it produces fresh fire in you, it keeps you, because it keeps you, when you witness and share Christ with others, it keeps you mindful and thankful for who Jesus is and what He has done for you, and keeps Him alive and working through you by sharing Him with others. Amen. And so in doing so, you not only see others changed, but the truth is, you see yourself changed. Come on. When you share what God has done for you, not only are you going to see others change, this is going to fire you up, because you're going to see how that grows you, how that actually changes you. And then through the excitement and fulfillment of God confirming His Word in and through your life, you just go to a whole new level. That's how it works. God didn't design the things that we are to do for Him to put water on us. It's designed to cause us to be on fire. I can tell you what tries to put water on you is you learning how to share your testimony, share the gospel message, and the first few people, or maybe every day, you got people that don't want to hear it. Just walk away from you. Oh, you're one of those kooks. Or just roll up the wonder or flip you off, or the list goes on. Come on. That's what tries to dampen your fire. And I want us to understand this, that there's no person that witnesses for Christ regularly or effectively or both that aren't rejected, criticized, slammed the door in their face, said no to, and all those things. There's no person. But I would say this to you, that if you would keep doing what Jesus commanded us to do, and do it regularly, and see the fruit of that, then that sets a fire in your heart. Because one of the things that we should have is, should burn in us what burns for God. And you know one of the number one things that burns in the heart of God is lost souls. God wills that not none perish, but all come to repentance. He will all men be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. But to get the job done, in other words, what job? The Great Commission done. Disciples have to be made, and so do soul winners. And this is why evangelism and discipleship is so important, and is clearly God's plan for His church. And you know why. Matter of fact, why don't we just turn there in Ephesians 4:11-12. I've told you we're going to do this. And here's our gifts that Jesus gave to the church. He gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. Here's why He gave them. To do all the work of the ministry? No. For the perfecting of the saints. The word perfecting means the maturing of the saints. It means to perfectly adjust. It means to equip the saints. Why do the saints need to be equipped? So they can work the work of the ministry, for the work of the ministry. For the edifying or the building up of the body of Christ. To the degree that we do our part in the work of the ministry as believers will be the degree that the body of Christ is built up. See, I always say it like this. It's my job as a pastor to teach you to do what you thought it was only my job to do. Because, like, I'm gonna tell you how I thought about it growing up, going in church for 24 years of my life. I said, why am I going to bring my Bible? That's what we pay that man to tell us what's in there. How many know that's wrong thinking? Now, if that's the way you think, your thinking is just wrong as my thinking was. That didn't get me nowhere because, you know what? Number one, I didn't ever pay no attention. Because if you're just going because of some reason like I did, like galligion, or to salve my conscience. You know, what do you mean galligion? I went because my future wife was going. Ain't that a good reason? You catch the skirt. You know what I'm saying? Come on. I'm just telling you, life is real. That's what happens. And you can have godligion just as much as you got girligion. Come on. So, but the truth is, I went because of that, but also to salve my own conscience. Deep down in our heart, we know that there is a God and that we need Him. We, without this book and it being taught and understood by us, we cannot connect the dots. We cannot connect those dots without our understanding from that word. That's a spiritual book. That is not a natural book. It's not a novel. It's a spiritual book. It has to be understood spiritually. That's why we cannot ever underestimate the power of the Holy Spirit, who is the teacher, and why we need Him. And while we should pray, God, show me, open my eyes. I'm not talking about these eyes. I can read. Come on. I'm talking about open the eyes of my spirit so I can have spiritual understanding of what God has said. Amen. So in saying this, the perfecting of the saints for the work of, it is my job to teach you to do what you thought it was only my job to do, to pray, to preach, to prophesy, to win people to Christ. Come on, all those things. And I want us to understand this. As important as the fivefold ministry is to the church, teaching the church or the body of Christ to do the work of the ministry, amen, this is why I say that God needs more marketplace ministers than He does fivefold ministries. Because there's only some going to be that. Their gifts that are given by Christ to do, doesn't make them more special. It makes them have a greater responsibility. I just have a greater responsibility. We all have a responsibility to know and do the Word. That's not the pastor's responsibility only. It's all of our responsibility. But it's my job to teach you to do what you only thought it was my job to do. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. And so this is why I say that as important as the fivefold ministry gifts are, the body of Christ really needs more of what I call marketplace ministers. And what is a marketplace minister? Let me explain what I mean by that phrase. Slide 2, please. It's where believers in life and at work, their world and the marketplace, share their faith to bring others to Christ. You should write that down. It's where believers in life and at work, their world and the marketplace, amen, share their faith to bring others to Christ. Praise God. Now, I'm going to say this again. Please understand, your boss, if you are an employee and you have an employer, your employer didn't hire you to preach the gospel. He hired you to work. So what you put your hand to, do it as unto the Lord. As you do what you do as unto the Lord, that will be seen by people. People will see you come early, stay late, be faithful, do your job as unto the Lord, treat people kind. Those things are lifestyle evangelism that people will open the door and people will say things like this. What's different about you? Why do you do that? Everybody else talking about the boss, all in a little car. You walk away. And they come and say, what's going on? I refuse to do that. I had people do that to me. I had a vendor one time. I worked in as a meat manager for 15 years. I had a vendor one time said, I don't know how in the world you work for that man. I stopped him right there. I just said, stop. Right there, I just said, stop. Was I a pastor? No, I was a Christian that was learning how to walk in the Word of God and do what's right and know that I'm not helping my... Let me tell you something. Putting someone else's candle out doesn't make yours glow any brighter. And so, you know, the person said, you know, I don't know how you work. I said, stop, stop, stop. I want you to know right now. This is what I told him. I want you to know right now that man and his son have done nothing but bless me and help me. And I appreciate them. So I don't hear nothing else about it. I just walked away. Praise the Lord. Guess who they didn't talk to anymore? Bother me. Praise God. It just doesn't. You know what? That was going to do nothing but hurt me to do the other. To agree. Or even if I didn't agree, just sit there and listen to it. No, just walk away. Just walk away. But over time, you're going to have people, well, oh, they're a Christian. They talk behind your back and all this kind of stuff. And oh, they're, you know, this, that, the other. But here's what you find over and over and over again. When they come into problems, you know who the first person they're going to come? That they ask you to pray? To ask to pray for them? Is you. Come on. So regardless, it's something that we need to understand is marketplace ministers, where every believer in life and at work, their world, your world is not Africa. Your world is where your feet show up every morning at. Come on. That's your world. And the marketplace. In other words, your life and your work, where you go, where you interact every day. Now, what I said was your boss didn't call you to or hire you to share the gospel. But if you will live a life for Christ, the doors will open. They'll open with fellow employees. They'll even open with your boss. They'll open in all different kind of ways. You don't have to be pushy. Just live it. Live it. Live it. Praise God. And we'll talk more about that in times to come. I want to make sure that we understand why we each are to be marketplace ministers. See, because a lot of times here, what we do, we categorize, oh, pastor, this is what he does. This is what he's supposed to do. But, you know, Lord, I really, you know, just use the power. I'll pray for the pastor. Just don't ask me to do nothing. Praise the Lord. Amen. No, I want to show you why we all are called to be what I call marketplace ministers and why God needs more of them. Amen. So let's read this portion of Scripture. We'll spend the rest of the time unpacking this. We'll finish up pretty close, if we can, with this probably. So let's read 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 through 20. We're going to read it together, and then I'm going to go back verse by verse and unpack it. It says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And all things are of God. This means these things are of God. In other words, what we just talked about, the old passing away, the new becoming, we become a new creatures in Christ. These things are of God. Heaven, no, you couldn't save yourself. Only God can save you. Who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ and had given unto us the ministry of reconciliation. Verse 19, to wit, that means namely that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God. So let's read and unpack this as we've read it. Let's now unpack it. Notice back in verse 17, it says that we have become new creations in Christ. Your spirit man becomes new, recreated with the life and the nature of God. The other translation calls it a new species of being that never existed before. You are a new spiritual being. The reason you can do what you've never done before is because you are who you've never been before. Come on. New in kind, new in quality, a new kind of person. So the new creation is who the Bible calls you, the new you. This is your new identity. It's who you are as a saved child of God. And until you acknowledge that and understand that, you're going to always live below or in some other way than God says you are or could live. So we got to understand this. This is why the world is searching. They're searching for an identity and all these kind of things. They identify as they're a woman, but they identify as a man. Come on. That don't make you a man because you identify as one. I'm not trying to be mean. I'm trying to help us to understand the reason why the world goes in the direction that it goes is because the devil has held it captive. And without we knowing how God made us, there is a creator. And he made us. And if we want to know who we are, we better ask the one who made us. I'll give this simple illustration all the time in years gone by. But, you know, working in the grocery store, I never heard the Del Monte green beans ask the rich food green beans, tell me about me. Tell me who, you know, tell me about me. No, if you want to, listen, they probably came from the same warehouse. Anyway, they just put them in a different can. A little more salt, a little more something. Come on and jack up the price on the Del Monte instead of the rich food. All right, whatever. In other words, it's foolish that a green bean asks a green bean about themselves. If you want to know about, this is why it's foolish you to ask someone else about you. If you want to know about you, ask God, the one who made you. And the reason that another person could qualify to tell you about you is if they would point back to what the Creator said about you. So we're new creatures in Christ. That's the point. Now, because we're new creatures in Christ, look what God says next, very next thing that we are and can do. Notice in verse 18 it says, "And these things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation." Notice the word, the ministry of reconciliation. The word reconciliation just literally means peace won by a battle. It means to restoring a favor unto God. That's why Jesus came, to give us a relationship back with God, right? Okay, so God says that the moment we become new creatures in Christ, we have what is called the ministry of reconciliation. So guess what? Every believer's job or ministry is this: the work we are called to do for God. Some people say, well, I'm in the ministry. Well, you sure are. All of us are. The ministry of reconciliation. If you don't do that one well, forget the other. Come on, if you can't do this one well, forget the other. Sometimes people, I gotta have a position. I gotta have a title. I'm called to the. I believe in all that, and I have a ministry. I can tell you what our first ministry is a ministry of reconciliation. If we don't recognize that, we just will forget the other. Verse 18 in the Amplified Translation says it like this: "But all things are from God, who through Jesus Christ reconciles us to himself, received us into favor, brought us into harmony with himself." Aren't you glad? That's what our faith in Christ does. It brings us in harmony with God, gives us this new birth experience. We're saved. "And gave to us the ministry of reconciliation. Here it is, that by word and deed we might aim to bring others into harmony with him." So in other words, every believer has a ministry. Here it is, that by word and deed we might bring others, we may aim to bring others into harmony with God. You know what that's called? Lifestyle evangelism. There it is, right there. That's what it's called. That by word and deed, by word and deed, by word, message, and lifestyle, word and deed, we might aim to bring others in harmony with God. This is what the ministry we're called to do, and this is how we're to live. 19 is our message to the world. Let's put verse 19 back. There we go. It says, "And it given unto us the word of reconciliation." The word there, another translation, it says the message of reconciliation. So this is our word to the world. The word or the message of reconciliation. In other words, here it is. Here's that message to the world. God's not mad at you. God sent His Son to die for you. He shed His blood and took your place. He died for you and in your place so that you could be set right with God. Have faith in God. Turn from your way and have faith in God and be totally forgiven, be made new, and be saved and become a child of God. That's our message. Our message is God's not mad at you. And He sent me to tell you He loves you, and He sent His Son to die to make us right with Himself. That's our message. We better get good at it. Now, there may be other things that you need to say to people at times, but that's our number one message to the world. That's what God says we're to tell the world. Listen, people already know they're sinners. Many people know they're headed to hell. How I know? Because they'll tell you, listen, I'm going to hell. I know I'm going to hell, but all my friends will be there. No, they won't. They'll be there, but you won't see them. You won't be with them. And let me tell you something. There is a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. And this is why the ministry that we have and the message of reconciliation, the message we teach by the ministry that we have, we all have this. We all have this. If you're a new creature, you have this. That's the point I'm making. Then we need to know how to communicate this effectively and share it so that people will understand that God is really not mad at them. He loves them, and He sent His Son to die in their place, in their stead for them, so they could be right with God. So verses 18 and 19, when you put them together, listen, this means that we not only have this ministry, but we are ministers of reconciliation, or what you could call, or what I'm calling, marketplace ministers. That in life, whether it's life, work is part of life, but I want you to know a lot of times people separate all kind of, in the life, wherever your feet are, in life, in the world, or in the marketplace. And the marketplace is not only where you, listen, marketplace can not only be where you work at, which it is, but it also can be part of the world you go into. You meet people all the time. Praise God that need Christ, just like we did. And lifestyle evangelism teaches us how to do this. Now, in verse 19 and 20, let's read it from the Amplified Translation. And it was God personally present in Christ, reconciling and restoring the world to favor with Himself. Notice that. God personally present in Christ, reconciling and restoring the world to favor with Himself. Not counting up. This is our message. He's not counting up and holding against men their trespasses, but He's canceling them. That's why Jesus came, to cancel them. But the only way they can be canceled on our behalf is when we accept Christ. Accept the pardon. That's why we must come to Him. But canceling them and committed to us the message of reconciliation of the restoration to favor. Look at verse 20. And so we are Christ's ambassadors, God making His appeal, as it were, through us. We, as Christ's personal representatives, beg you, for Christ's sake, to lay hold of the divine favor now offered to you and be reconciled to God. Wow. Isn't this powerful? And so, notice where it says it was God personally present in Christ, reconciling and restoring the world unto Himself. How many know Jesus is pretty good at that? But that's what was God working Him in Christ, reconciling the world to Him. You know what the Scripture is saying now is? Now it's God personally present in us doing the same. In other words, if people are going to be saved, it's because His body wakens up and it now realizes now it's God personally present in me reconciling the world to Himself. If anybody's going to be reconciled, it's going to come through the body. Because Christ is in heaven, He's empowered His church, and this is all of our assignment. And lifestyle evangelism is part of it. Love, turn, would you turn to Colossians 3? You got Amplified? I'm going to read something there in just one moment. So notice, we become ambassadors. That means we're God's official personal representatives who serve the world this message of salvation. And that's exactly what Marketplace Ministry ministers do. Listen, that's what they do. And this is what lifestyle evangelism is about. Amen. Let me just have that. I'm going to read this real quick. Colossians chapter 3. Everybody say, I'm an ambassador. I'm an ambassador for Christ. Hallelujah. In Colossians 3 verse 12, Amplified says, you can just write it down. They don't have to put it up. Clothe yourself therefore as God's own chosen ones, His own picked representatives. That's who you are. He picked you. You know what? You know why He had to pick you? Because you wouldn't pick yourself. How do I know? Because I wouldn't have picked myself. I'm the least like. That's why I always tell people, if God can save me, He can save anybody. If He can call me the pastor, He can call anybody. I didn't call myself. I was minding my own business. If I had anything to do with it, thank God. Thank God I had to surrender to all the call. But if I had anything to do with it, I was happy. I was happy headed to hell, didn't know it. Come on, I was happy hunting and fishing. Hunting and fishing was my God. It's nothing matter with hunting and fishing. Let me say it again. All you hunters and fishermen and all you wives who elbow your husband and say, oh, listen to pastor right now. Okay. Nothing the matter with hunting and fishing until it becomes your God. When it becomes first or an idol in your life, anything that would become an idol. You know, some people say, yo, that don't bother me, but how about money? Is money your idol? Okay, hello. Well, money isn't evil, and if it's who hands is in it makes it. It's the love of money. The love of money. See, we just have to realize this. So now point I was making is I wouldn't have chose myself. But we don't choose ourselves. If we're gonna do the work of God, we don't choose ourselves. We find out who God chooses. And you know, He chose you to be a minister of reconciliation. He chose you to be His own personal representative. How do we know that? Because that love letter was written to you. Come on, it's written to you. It's all over you. Hello, Marketplace Minister. Hello, new creature in Christ. Hello, Ambassador. God's own handpicked personal representatives. And so as we, come on, sister, as we move forward in this, the big question is, see, I had to lay the groundwork that you know, and we'll talk about it every time, but how, oh, okay, Pastor, all right, I get this. I hope you do, that this is the life we're to live. But how we do that? How can we do that every day? We got work to do. We got chores to do. We got this, that, the other. We got all that to do. But that doesn't change our highest call. Like one person said, I think it was Billy Graham, and somebody said, well, you know what? They talked about him being president. He says, I'm going to take a demotion and become president. I mean, thank God for the office of the president. We still honor that. But what I'm saying is this. When you understand, let me tell you something. Whatever God, and this is part of your call, whatever God's called you to do, that's the highest call there is. Because you can't be concerned about what God called everybody else to do. And oh, but this is part of everybody's call. Everything I share tonight is part of everybody's call. If you're a new creature in Christ, you are called a minister of reconciliation. You have a ministry. And you are an ambassador. And this is why God needs marketplace ministers. Because you're going to go in the world and you're going to touch people, all of us are, as believers. See, once again, I reach people not as a pastor unless I'm in this pulpit. I reach them as a marketplace minister. I reach them as a Christian. That's what Christians are, or to be. But we have to learn to be that. And so hopefully in learning how to do that and some examples that we'll share and from the Word of God, we'll inspire that in our hearts. I rejoice We're seeing it. I just rejoice with pointing people out. People getting saved, getting hungry for God. Amen. Inviting their friends and loved ones. Amen. You're doing it. Well, we're going to teach you how to win them there. And you know what? There's times I've... And this is why it's so important. Yeah, I want to teach you so that you know how to lead a person to Christ. But even if you... You know, there are times that people are not going to... And I'm going to show you a scriptural. Invite them to church where they can hear the gospel and can receive. Because sometimes they're not going to... You know, people don't want to receive from you because they don't want you to think that you think they know more than you do. I know that would never happen to nobody in here. But if you know how to do it, or get them to a place that they can hear it, then they can be changed. But the point is learning the how so we can be better. Because no one has the market on this. No one does it perfectly, but we can all grow in it. And part of teaching on it is not only knowing what God has assigned us to do, but also breaking the fear, because there's a certain element of fear of the unknown and doing things you've never done before. Come on, I got one amen. There's that. Nobody, you know, but God's not giving us a spirit of fear, but a power of love and a sound mind. Let's bow our hearts in closing tonight. Father, we thank you for this immense great call and how you're helping us. I call this a disciple-making, a soul-winning church. I thank you, Lord, for ministers of reconciliation, ambassadors for Christ, who you help every day in their life, and by word and deed, that message, your message, is heard accurately through them. And you're helping to bring answers to questions. You're bringing solutions to problems. And Lord, what burns in your heart is burning in us because we ask it to. It'll change us. And you're never trying to take stuff from us. You're trying to get something to us that's going to help us. And so, Lord, we love you and we praise you tonight for being so patient, loving, and kind with us all. And Lord, I thank you for your people growing up in all aspects of him, the head of the church, the Lord Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name, I ask it. So tonight, with heads bowed, eyes are closed, Christians praying.